let's just take a good gulp. We already have been, but we have a saying in the Russian language, and you know, as many of you know, I spent 12 years in Ukraine. In fact, I'm just going back there in a couple of weeks. If you haven't drank in the morning, the day is ruined. Если с утра не выпил, день пропал. If you have not drunk in the morning, the day is ruined. What does that mean? That means that we somehow in the morning, as we talked about George Mueller, was told by God, make your heart happy in God the first thing in the morning. With everything that he had to do, feeding these orphans and the work that was put before him, make your heart happy in God. So let's just, Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the new wine. Yesterday we talked about the symbols of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the ways of God. Just come into our spirits, Lord. Okay, everybody, we're going to just do a prophetic act. We're going to have to move in the morning. Everyone just stand up, please. I know we only do this at the end of the conference, but I want you to make a barrel prophetically by faith, because the Lord really is new wine. He actually gives new wine. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I'm just before we drink, Lord, I pray for any wound right now in the hearts of people. I pray for a wound of sorrow or a wound of the past, a wound of despair. Lord, I pray that as you give us this new wine now, Lord, that you would just heal that wound in Jesus' name. Don't drink yet. Don't drink. Hold on. Don't drink. Don't drink. Hang on. Lord, fill these barrels. Look at your sons and daughters, Lord. They're Pentecostal. They're Pentecostal people. On the day of Pentecost, you poured out wind, fire, and wine. So, Lord, arriba. Let the trumpet sound. If we have not drank in the morning, the day is ruined. So, Lord, thank you for this barrel. On three, everybody drink. Ready? One, two, three. Ah. Whether you feel it or not, this is a prophetic act of faith before the Lord. A prophetic act of faith. You know, we river people, we're a little bit different. You've probably noticed that. You've probably been told that. Arriba. I think we're supposed to take another drink. Make another barrel. Come on. On three. Okay, first of all, no, Lord, the Lord honors my prayers on this. So, Lord, fill these barrels. Arriba! Fill these barrels. Let there be a Balkan barrel. Let there be a DC barrel. Let there be a government barrel. Lord, every barrel that is needed, Lord, fill our barrels. Thank you. On three, we're going to drink this barrel. Ready? One, two, three. Ah. 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 Okay. John, come here, please. Now, it's fun to drink, but it's much better to drink with a partner. So get a partner and hold your cups before the Lord. Find a partner that you trust or don't trust. It doesn't matter. Because when you after you drink, you're going to love them. In fact, sometimes it's best to get a partner. Okay, anyways. Lord, fill these cups now in Jesus' name. Lord, we believe in the new wine. Friends, I believe this with all of my heart. This is, you know, this is childlike. Not childish, but childlike. So fill these cups with new wine. And on three, with your partner. One, two, three. Ah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder and prophesy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It is your strength. The joy of the Lord that you're getting today is your strength. You tell your neighbor you need joy. Arriba! Arriba! Ah! Woo! Arriba!
Arriba!
It's amazing how the Lord honors this. It is absolutely amazing how He likes this. It's like He drinks with us, you know. He really does. He drinks with us. And we're never going back from this. At least I'm not. I'm going to be drinking until Jesus comes, and then when we get to heaven, we're going to be drinking more. Arriba. Lord, let the new wine flow today. You may sit, you may stand, you may jump around, you may soak, you may do whatever you want to do. Lord, I declare freedom, freedom, freedom over our hearts. Freedom, freedom, freedom over our souls. Thank you for the flow of the river of God. Thank you for the flow of this river of fire. Arriba. Thank you for the flow of presence. Thank you for the river. A characteristic of the river is that there's flow. And so we're river people. This is a river weekend. And so there's flow. Flow, flow, flow. Flow, flow, flow. Lord, thank you that you're going to throw us into your flow. Sharaba, arriba, boom, 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 boom.
Let's do some more drilling. It seems like the drilling was working.
Who was it? Pete? Is Pete in the room here? He was still there, Pete. He gave me a good word last night in the car at the end of the meeting. We were just talking just a touch about drilling. He says, yeah, you know what drilling does is it goes to your core. That's a word from the Lord right there. Arriba. So take your drill, put it on your shoulder, on your neighbor's shoulder. Go right to our cores, Lord. Drill into the core of revival for the Balkans. Doctor, doctor! There's a doctor in the house. Is there a doctor in the house? Oh, this is good standing next to Andrew. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh, boom, boom. There's some serious presence on you, brother. Arriba. Boom, boom, boom. This will all make sense in heaven, everybody. This will all make sense in heaven. We get to heaven, we're going to be drilling each other. Boom. Rip. Arriba. Boom, boom. Pete, that's a great word. Drilling goes right to our core. I think I'm going to use that in conferences. I got a revelation from God. I'll probably give you credit for it. But anyways. Arriba. While I'm drilling, I want to give an advertisement. Arriba. We are going to have a new wine party in Montreal from July 9th to 12th. It's going to be John and Carol Arnott, George and Winnie Banoff, Gwen and myself. And what Toronto Church used to do for the first 12, 15 years during the summer is have what they call a party conference or a wine conference. And the whole purpose of the conference was just to get together and do this right here that we've been doing the last 10 minutes. Arriba. Because this revival started on the foundation of the Father Heart, with the purpose of getting the joy of God into the hearts of his people. And that's, you know, joy, it's the joy part that surprised everybody. It wasn't the Father Heart message, because that was kind of out there. It was the joy part that surprised everybody and brought, it brought both great blessing, but it also brought controversy. Like, why are people so joyful? And the reason is because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we don't have joy, if we lose our joy, or if we don't maintain our joy, then we become weaker and more prone to temptation, more prone to the works of the flesh, etc. And so there's just a quick advertisement. Don't get too serious. Keep drinking. Keep drilling. July 9th to the 12th. We'll see what happens. Arriba. A joy. Oh, I'm enjoying this. There's an anointing on you, brother. Yeah. I could have devotions right here, right next to Andrew. Just come next to Andrew. The presence is there. Revelation. Get the joy of the Lord. You know, it's humbling to be associated with the river. Has anybody discovered that yet? There's a dignified man on the floor in bare feet, covered with a purple robe. There's some prophetic element in that somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. Arriba. But back in, remember, that's the trumpet, okay? We gotta keep you guys flowing here. Arriba. Because you're all thinkers. Yeah, what does the trumpet mean?
You. You're the one blowing the trumpet. You tell me.
So let's, you know, I think you pretty well feel comfortable with me, right? Some of you. Yeah. Oh, well, that could be. I've always considered the boom boom the breaking of a dam. That's how, for many, many years, the Lord has spoken to me about that. So there's dams in our souls, there's religious dams, there's religious traditions, there's strongholds in our mind. This is... admittedly, I'm a weird person, okay? I'm really just a normal guy. I mean, I like tennis, I like golf, I like gluten-free pizza, I like... Who said yes to golf? Yes, wonderful, okay. So, yes, these seem to be prophetic manifestations. They're prophetic symbols. They are language of God. And certainly, I'm just a normal person. And for whatever reason, when these things started happening, you know, for me also, it was like, what is this? And then the Lord had to teach me, and this is over a process of decades. Arriba. Sometimes when you're drunk, you can't speak well. But that one clears my mind. Gwen, tell them I'm normal, please. Look at Gwen. And so, you know, I guess the question with God is like, he wants to get his presence to you. And for whatever reason, I know there's a lot of wonderful people that release presence in great ways. Like, I was watching Reinhard Bonnke's clips in the past week. And just how the stories of how he releases presence, and a lot of how he releases presence is declaration and, you know, trusting God for healing. And he just preaches, and then the presence comes. Arriba! And I we're having like a seminar here, these questions. So is it okay if I kind of, is this interesting for you? We'll teach in a bit. Ah! So the buzzing is the trumpet, right? I heard the voice. I heard the trumpet. And the trumpet is an announcing of gathering. Whenever God's people gathered, God told the priests to blow the trumpet. And the trumpet also was blown on Jubilee, years of freedom, times of freedom. And for some reason... for some people, when these manifestations happen in my body, other people get freedom. And so as a servant of the Lord, this is before him. It's not before you. Arriba! Excuse me. See, there's something in our souls that just seems to settle into complacency, even as believers. And these manifestations seem to be shock treatments. And do not try to imitate this. I mean, if God does it for you, God bless you. I mean, I'll sit down and then you guys go for it. But it's like a shock treatment, apparently. And for me, it's very, very humbling, to be honest with you. You know, I have a theological degree from a Baptist university. Arriba. I don't have a doctorate like some people. From Scotland. The Scottish gave him a doctorate. We're buddies. You guys understand that, right? This is okay. And so there seems to be prophetic elements. Not seems to be. There are prophetic elements in the kingdom. And I guess some prophetic is more prophetic. I don't know. It's more symbolist. It's more manifestations than others. And when the presence of God comes, you know, it affects our souls, it affects our bodies. And back in the early days, and I wasn't there, I was here for a few times, where people were so under the influence. They were so under the influence. And I could understand it, that the glory of God just got in their souls and in their bodies. And so this one I've seen. And I'm not saying this out of the power of suggestion. But people started flying around the room like eagles. I mean, not flying in the air. But the power in their souls, they had no other way to express it than they had to fly. And I sat there and watched, you know, fly, you know. And then, you know, I didn't fully understand that. And then once or twice, the Lord just came so strongly into my souls that I couldn't contain it. And it was like I had to roar. I had to shout, you know, I don't want to imitate it, because it was literally the roar of the Lord in your soul. And so John, Suzanne, your team, you know, you're very brave in embracing the river. Because as the prophet said back in 1984, you know, God is going to pour out his wine in 10 years. So this was prophesied in 1984, and he was going to pour out his wine in 10 years, and he was going to reverse the order of Acts chapter 2. So in Acts chapter 2, the Lord came in wind and in fire and in wine. That's the order there. But he was going to reverse the order. It was going to be first wine, then fire, then wind, and then the Lord was going to come. How many have heard that prophecy? You've never heard that? How many have never heard that prophecy before? You've never heard that? No. Noreen, you've never heard that prophecy. In 1984, from Kansas City, the prophecy came that in 10 years, the Lord is going to pour out the wine, and he was going to reverse the order of Acts chapter 2. Where in Acts chapter 2, it was wind, fire, and wine. He was going to reverse the order. It's going to be wine, fire, and wind, and then the Lord was going to come. And yet, he also prophesied that it was going to break, this wine was going to break the spirit of professionalism and careerism and leadership. Like, it's hard to be professional. I think you know what I mean. You know, and so there's a humbling to there's a humility needed to be part of this. But remember, this is how the church started. There was tons of fire. There was the wind of God. And for whatever reason, there's a shaking going on where he wants to get into our souls. And so he releases these prophetic manifestations. So the boom, boom, I think, is a dam breaking. The trumpet could just be an announcement. For me, it's like I've had to learn how to respond in my body. And I used to resist it. I used to resist it because I thought, is this really necessary? And then I realized that for me, this is only for me. And you apply it how you want. But for me, arriba. That had to happen in order for the blessing to flow to the people. And I'm really hoping to get a big reward in heaven for all this. You know, sometimes I leave meetings and I'm going. Get the mantle on them, Lord. Give Andrew a French horn. Give Noreen a tuba. But here's the question. Okay, but let's examine. Do you feel? Who feels? Okay, something is filling in my soul while I'm sitting here. Just be honest with you. If you don't feel it, don't. Don't worry. But you feel, say, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit. So a few, and that's fine. Because we all respond in different ways. Arriba. Boom, boom. What if you really are not your own? What if you have been bought at a price? Therefore, glorify God with your body. So, how does the river work? We're still discovering that, aren't we? You're supposed to say yes on that one. Thank you. So, Lord, fill your people, fill your sons and daughters here. Arriba.
Hallelujah,
Lord. So we'll respond in different ways. By temperament, I'm a phlegmatic. That means I'm more of a wallflower. Pardon me? Joseph?
This brother here?
Oh, he's a doctor too. He's got some good medicine. Okay, John chapter 3, arriba. So here, what are we going to do today? So today, this morning, we want to talk about the winds of God, and it'll help you to understand why God moves at certain times in certain ways. And we're going to, you know, I'm going to open up this theme, and then maybe we can talk about it, especially with the leaders, the different winds of God. And then this afternoon at 5, we have a workshop, right? And we're going to repeat that illustration of how important it is for your inner man to be stronger than your soul and your flesh and your body. And so it's going to be, it's very, very practical. This message I have right now is on the winds of God. And I want to, but before we get into that, I want to do what I promised you yesterday about the quote from Life Together from Dietrich Bonhoeffer about living in brokenness. And again, Sarah and others of you, thank you for living in transparency. And listen to this quote from Life Together. It says, "It may be that Christians, notwithstanding corporate worship, common prayer, and all their fellowship and service, may still be left to their loneliness." So in other words, there's Christian activity that we have, but we're still left to our loneliness. The final break through to fellowship does not occur because though they have fellowship with one another as believers and as devout people, they do not have fellowship as the undevout, as the sinners. So it's the fellowship of sinners. The pious fellowship permits no one to be a sinner. I'm going to say that again. The pious fellowship permits no one to be a sinner. So everyone must conceal his sin from himself and from the fellowship. But I'm so glad for that, what you guys are modeling, that you're walking in the light, you're being real, because that's part of the river, actually. You need to have that culture of walking in the light. And that really, really helps the flow of the river. You know, John and Carol, we did a Zoom with them. A number of us did a Zoom with them just about 2 months ago or so. And they said, yeah, well, Carol and I, John said, Carol and I are going for some more counseling. And we're all going, what? You're 85 years old. You're a general in the faith. You know, you're walking this out for decades. Yeah, we just feel like we need another tune-up. He's 85, she's 83, and they're still going for, you see, there's stuff that we need to deal with and we need to talk to people about. And so they're continuing to model this with us and for us about, you know, walking in the light. So there you go. That's that quote. So let's turn to John chapter 3. And I really want to speak to, lots of times I share this message with leaders, and it's called The Four Winds. But it's subtitled Why Pastors Don't Like Revival. But it's going to apply to you. So the title of this teaching is Four Winds, but it also could be why pastors or some pastors or why some people don't like revival. Because revival comes in ways you're not used to. We have an expectation of what the move of God looks like. And with the four winds that we're going to look into, we're going to see that he moves how he wants. So John chapter 3, verse 8 says this, "The wind blows where it wishes." Now remember, yesterday we looked at some of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Shout out to me, what were some of those symbols? Clothing, perfect. What else? New wine. What else? Fire. Beauty. Water. Oil. Beauty. Oil. Seal. Salt. Come on. I think you got them all. Fantastic. And the first one we started with was wind, and I said that we're going to talk about wind. And so the Spirit is all of that. And what we're trying to do, aren't we? We're trying to come into a greater fellowship with the Holy Spirit in His ways. One of my meditations in preparing for this week together was 2 Corinthians 13:14, and I want to declare this over you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit increase among you, be yours. And the Lord said to me, Dan, I want to take those three things this weekend, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I want to increase the Rock Church in those areas. So I declare that over you. Arriba. I try to get a word of the Lord before, you know, different words before gatherings. Like, what are you going to do here? What's the purpose here? Jesus says, my Father works until now, and I work. I just want to enter into what the Father is doing. There you go. Right now he's blowing a trumpet at you. Sharaba. And so we want to get to know the Holy Spirit more. Verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes. And so this is the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is wind. And in Acts chapter 2, he came as wind. And you hear the sound of it. And has anybody ever heard the sound of mighty rushing wind? I'm not talking about the air conditioner. I'm talking about audible wind. Or have you? So you've heard it. I've heard it once or twice in my life, and I actually saw the effects of it as it moved curtains in my room, and it scared the living daylights out of me. This was before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so this is, I can testify about this. The wind really blows where he wants. The Spirit of God is sovereign. And he chooses when, how, etc. to move. And we hear the sound of it. And sometimes, possibly, you have felt wind. So today we're going to talk about wind. That you have felt wind. And you're not quite sure what it is. One of my tasks in this revival is to be a bit of an apologist. That is to help people understand how this works, so that it's not strange to them. It's not strange to the church. And I'm trying to help the church in this. And so you can sometimes. I'm gonna say this. Probably some of you have felt the wind of God, but have not recognized it. Oftentimes, we have glory visitations, but because of tradition or background or personality or culture, we simply have not learned to recognize it. And so one of the things that I like to do is just try to help people, maybe this, maybe that, that, you know, the God is touching you, or is touching me, because I had the Lord touch me and actually encounter me. And I had such unbelief that it took me 2 years to actually figure out that that encounter was actually from God. Because unbelief was so deep in me. And all of us, arriba, to a level, have an expectation. We conform. We're all sheep. So sheep follow one another. This is the way we do it. This is how we do it. This is how we do it in the river. This is how the Pentecostals do it. This is how the Presbyterians. We're all sheep, and we conform very, very easy. But the Spirit of God is so creative, and he has to be creative to break us out of our we settle too much in our soul, and then we lose the excitement of being led by the Holy Spirit. I know I'm kind of talking in parables here, but the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so when the Spirit of God starts moving upon us, there will be sovereign, he might shift his wind, and that's what we're going to be talking about. And it's he gets to blow how he wants to blow. It's he's God. He's with us. He's on the earth. Arriba, come Holy Spirit. Like right now. I don't know if we should get into this right now. Okay, is it time for, okay, yeah. Right now, people are asking me because of my role. Okay, I'm a Catch the Fire leader, and, you know, so some people look to me, not everybody, but look to me for, you know, for comments on the move of God, because we have been connected with this Toronto move of God. And they said, well, Dan, when's the next move of God? And for a while, I had to figure that out until I understood about 2 years ago that we are in a move of God right now. We are in the move of God. And the move of God is he's correcting us. He is, if I were to give you my understanding of the present move of God, the rhema word for the Western church, especially right now, it's Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. That's how I perceive it. And you can judge that however you want to judge it. Ruth chapter 3, 1 and 2, there's Boaz. Boaz is from Bethlehem. Remember a guy from Bethlehem? Boaz is a wealthy man who was the Lord of the harvest from Bethlehem. It's a picture of Jesus. Boaz from Bethlehem is threshing the barley at the threshing floor. And when the barley is threshed, you take the fork, it's in the evening, and in the evening is when the wind blows. And you toss the barley up into the wind, and the wind, as we know, it separates the chaff, so the light stuff, the stuff that does not belong, it removes it, and what is of value comes down and remains. And how many noticed that the body of Christ in the Western world is going through some serious threshing right now? I believe that's where we're at. He's throwing us up. He's weighing what's real, what's not real. What's not real is being removed. What's valuable stays down. And so the wind is blowing in that way. So I believe in that sense that we are in a move of God right now. And I think that's a preparation. This is my perspective. Probably John, Andrew, Guinea, others, leaders of you have other takes into what that's going to look like going forward. We must move into a new realm of power. We have to move into a new realm of power. I've had about five very strong dreams relating to events that happened in the Toronto church over the years. And four out of those five have all come true. They've all come true. It's astounding how they've all come true. The fifth one has not yet come true. The fifth one is, the lobby was full, the parking lot outside was full, the street was full, and not all of you have been to Toronto, so just picture a large church on a street in a city, and the police can't even control the crowds. And I was in that crowd asking, why are you all here? And they said to me, it's because the power is coming. And so I think that there's a threshing. There is a threshing floor move that is happening right now, and we see it. Even in charismatic and renewal and revival centers, there's a great threshing happening, which should bring a soberness to us and a fear of the Lord to us in preparation for this next move. And I want to surf all the waves. And so the wind blows where it wishes. Let's turn over to Ezekiel chapter 37. And let's look at these four winds. Okay, let's see how we can get through this. Remember, the subtitle to this, John or Genny, why pastors don't like revival. And the answer is because it comes in a way that they are not familiar with or they did not recognize. Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to understand this and to have grace to be flowing in the wind that you are moving upon us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord. And so there's a great reason to get into the Spirit, because the Spirit will bring you out of where you are. Now, you have to live in D.C., in Baltimore, where I don't know where you live, but you're all, most of you are down there, okay? But in the Spirit, when we take time, we get times collectively, individually, to come into the Spirit, we get out, and we see things from His perspective. I'm not talking about leaving the world and becoming a monk or a nun. I'm saying that there are, for all believers, I believe that there are times in the Spirit that he brings us out so we can see how he sees. And in at the end of verse 1, it says, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. Okay, so contextually, yes, this is Israel. This in their particular state, this natural Israel in that day. But Scripture, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us that the Scripture is profitable for us. We get comfort, we get direction, we get exhortation, we get righteousness. We get application for our day from what happened to them. And it applies to us upon 1 Corinthians 10, 11, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So let's apply this to us now. Ready? And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, that is Ezekiel answered, O Lord God, you know. Now, obviously, Ezekiel had not been to a Kenneth Copeland Word of Faith seminar yet, and so he did not answer the Word of Faith. It was so beyond him. He said, oh God, you know. And I don't mean to be sarcastic there, because I love the Word of Faith, and that whole message has changed me. But down in verse 4, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Whenever revival happens, there's some measure of noise. Whenever there's a move of God, there's an unsettlement. There's Acts chapter 2. Suddenly a sound from heaven. And so, what's going on here? What's going on there? What was this all about? The revival or a move of God tends to make a noise and attract people with that noise. So. Verse 7, I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. How many think that's great? How many think, wow, that's revival? The bones came together, bone to bone. There was an assembly. There was a rattling. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So, there's two parts to this move of God. The prophesying of the word assembled the bones. So if we can say application-wise, even the preaching or the Word, which we love and honor, can do a wonderful work of assembling, and there's a measure of revival that happens. And yet, the comment at the end of verse 8, that there was no breath in them. There was still something missing. So, when we look at the state of the church, you know, there was still something missing. There was no breath in them. So, verse 9, and so he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Okay, so the first part, he was prophesying the word. Now he's prophesying to the breath, or we could put it another way, he's prophesying to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, we're in verse 9, come from the four winds. Everybody say four winds. O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Now, it was years ago that I was in this passage, and the Holy Spirit said, Dan, I want you to stay in here. I want you just to say, I want you to meditate. I want you to think about these four winds. I want you to study out and search out, what are these four winds? And it was like the Lord gave me a project, a personal project. And all of us carry a message, okay? We all, leaders, all of us, we have a special message or something that God has graced us with or anointed us with. And I feel that this is one of the messages that the Lord has given to me to help communicate to the church, that we can accept all four winds and we're going to identify them. Because it's grieved me that this joy, glory, wind has not been received. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure it out until I realized there are leaders in churches who were birthed in a form or a wind of revival. But when another wind of revival came, it was strange to them. They didn't recognize it. They didn't want to change. And so they rejected the other winds. But here, Scripture says that the bones turn into an army because of the four winds. Come, four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And so these four winds, each revival has a unique heavenly personality that can be recognized. And so each of these four winds are a personality of God. They're a personality of the Spirit. And they're a demonstration of His hand and what He wants to do in this time, in this particular season. Verse 10 goes on to say, so I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So our goal in teaching is this, is that I don't want anyone to miss God's move, though it may look different than what you're used to. I don't want anyone to miss God's wind, though it may be a wind that you're not used to. So as I kind of studied this out, here's how I came up to it. There's four winds. There's east, west, north, and south. And we're going to look at those individually and the personalities of those. Come, four winds. So Lord, come, four winds to Rock Church. Lord, come, four winds to my ministry in a greater way. Come, four winds to Ukraine. Come, four winds to the church. The dry bones. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Exodus chapter 10. Let's look first at the east wind. And by the way, click, turn the channel. Let's turn this into a class. If you have any questions, feel free to. I like interaction. You've probably noticed that. So if you have any questions, just raise your hand. And while we're going through this teaching, let's interact because we can learn better that way. So Exodus chapter 10, verse 12. Here we know the context. It's Israel, still bondage in Israel. And God has already told Pharaoh Moses to deliver them. So verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind. Everybody say east wind. An east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Everybody say east wind. So as we are introduced to the east wind, we are discovering this is not pleasant wind. This is the Spirit of God confronting. Remember, John chapter 3, verse 8, the Spirit moves where and how and when he wants. And now he's got Moses cooperating with him. And so what is this east wind? The east wind is a wind of redemptive correction, discipline, and conviction. I'm going to say that again. The east wind, a move of the Spirit as he wants, is a wind of redemptive correction, discipline, and conviction. The purpose of it is to uncover sin and to remove carnality. And we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And friends, there are times when the Holy Spirit will move both individually in our lives, or he will move corporately in our churches, or maybe even on a broader scale, corporately in the body of in the body of Christ and the whole nation, with one of these winds, with this east wind. And again, the purpose of it, and because it's confrontive. And the east wind, like, we're river people. Like, we love, okay, we had the barrel, we drank. We like that stuff. But the east wind, oh my goodness, what if the Lord is trying to correct me on something? Will we, as river people, recognize the east wind? Gwen and I pastored in a town called Fort Erie, Ontario, near Niagara Falls, for a number of years, and we were on a committee, a church committee, other pastors from that town, and we wanted to do every year annually. We had a 5-day conference that the churches of the city sponsored, and so we brought in these guys from Western Canada who had seen real convicting revival in Western Canada. This is back in the 70s. And we invited them in for 5 days. And they ended up spending 5 weeks in our community. Now, we lived on a border town, and this is in the 80s. And in the 80s, you can get back and forth between the States and Canada without a passport. You just walk. Where are you going? I'm going for gas. Fine, go. It was just so easy, back and forth. And but you're only allowed to bring $35 of groceries or stuff back from the States. It's the same thing. You know, you have a customs limit, and so that still goes on, you know, today. And so during these five weeks of revival, it came into the papers, the new local newspaper, that the customs officials from Canada were starting to get envelopes with money in it, and people were writing notes, I confess that I smuggled such and such over the border. And then there's back in those days, we had this, it was like a Walmart story, except it was called Zellers. They just call it like a Walmart. And remember, this was before the barcodes. And so you could switch prices, you know, with the stickers. Remember those days? How many switched prices? We're going to have a confession time. I bought hockey sticks, you know. The Sherbrooke, Quebec hockey sticks were more expensive than the American hockey sticks because they were from Quebec. And so I would switch prices, you know, off of the American ones, the cheap ones, and put it on the Sherbrooke, Quebec one. And they were the best hockey sticks because they bent more. You want a hockey stick that's going to bend more, right? Isn't that right? So just follow this story right along. All of a sudden, Zellers started getting conscious money. And this made the paper. Something was hovering over our community of 25,000 people for 5 weeks. And churches were getting things right with each other. They were confessing to another. Pastors were confessing to one another. Jealousy, competition, etc. And this lasted for 5 weeks. And it was just like this wind of correction was hovering over our community. I didn't have a label for it at that time. It was an east wind. Gwen, why don't you come up and share the story of what happened at our Bible school when you were a student there, please.
Okay, I went to Bible school out in Western Canada at Prairie Bible College. And we had chapel every day from Monday to Friday. You had to go to chapel. You had no choice. And there were about 500-600 students in the Bible school. And one chapel morning, I don't have no memory who the preacher was or even what he said, but when chapel was over, all of us students just sat there.
It's 500.
Yeah, 500 to 600. Nobody moved. And this wasn't prepared. The staff was not expecting this. This was a total surprise to all of us. And we all just sat there for a bit. And then a student, I think it was a young man, went to the front and started confessing sin. And that started a lineup of students going in confessing sin. And this was a total move of God. And it wasn't condemnation. It was conviction. And so the staff shut down classes for days. But the staff had to learn how to pastor this. Because when it comes to confessing sin, there's a circle for certain sins. Some sins don't have to be confessed publicly. You may need one-on-one. And so the staff had to sort this all out very quickly. And, you know, that was back in the day. There were no computers, no cell phones. We had pay phones in the dorm. There were lineups to the pay phones in the girls' dorm, the boys' dorm. People, we as students, were phoning whoever we needed to phone and making things right. There was an urgency. We needed to get things made right. And, you know, God convicted me of certain sins from when I was growing up. And, you know, they were very simple. Like, I stole a chocolate candy thing from a movie theater. Yeah. You know, the cherry-covered chocolate things. It was one of my favorites, and I stole it at a movie theater. And then God reminded me of this. And then when I was a teenager, some of us friends, we snuck another friend into the drive-in movie theater and didn't pay for them. We hid them behind a seat or something. We got them in. And, you know, God reminded me of that. You know, those are little things. But it wasn't condemnation. And, you know, I didn't even know the full addresses of these businesses back in my home city. But I knew the street they were on, and they were the only businesses with their names. So I wrote a letter. I put cash in the envelope. And I mailed it to them, just with the name and the city and the street, no number, just the street it was on. And I paid I gave back more than what I owed them for what I did. And I had hurt one of my older sisters when I was a teenager. I had done something not nice to her. And God convicted me of that. And she only lived, what, an hour and a half away from where I was going to Bible school. And when she came to visit me, you know, you think, oh, she won't remember this. But we sat down at a restaurant, and I said, Diane, do you remember back? I have to talk to you about this. Do you remember back? And she did remember. And I had to make it right and ask her forgiveness and, you know, confess to her. And, you know, this went on for days. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. It was all God. And he just wanted us to walk in the light. And so when God brings this conviction on you, no thing is too little to be taken care of. Whatever he brings back to mind with conviction, just take care of it. Do what you have to do to make restitution, to confess, and just make it right.
Thank you. So, again, the east wind is a wind of redemptive correction, discipline, and conviction. It really touches the conscience. You see certain revivals. As an example, in our generation, I would say that the Pensacola revival, if you are aware of that, was more of an east wind revival. There was presence there, but people got saved every night there. It was such conviction that was going on. And that, because those preachers, John Kilpatrick and Steve Hill, were really east wind preachers. Many ministries carry a certain wind. And I think, you know, as we're going to be talking about that, but some ministries carry like a certain wind. Charles Finney carried an east wind. It was deep conviction. David Wilkerson in our generation. David Wilkerson, if you know who he is, I consider him one of our great heroes, Crush on the Switchblade, Teen Challenge. Wonderful, wonderful ministry. But we're just talking frankly here. David Wilkerson did not receive the Toronto blessing. What's all this laughing? What's all this joy? What's all this rolling around? What is this, Father? These guys need to repent. You know, these teenagers need to repent. David Wilkerson did not like the Jesus People revival back. I mean, I've seen a video clip where he's arguing with the saved people from the Jesus People revival because, you know, some of the Jesus people, they were in process. You know, they were still in process. Guinea, when we were in Macedonia, Andrew knows, you know, we were telling you about this church in Buffalo, this Antioch church in Buffalo that was one of our bases of revival, and how he was a doorkeeper, Pastor Reed at this church in Buffalo, New York, where we were also connected, is a doorkeeper, and he had to let certain things in. And we just had lunch with him 2 or 3 days ago. And we said, tell us more Jesus people stories. He says, oh, well, they came in really short shorts. And no, picture this now, ready? Okay, so he's a what I call a classical Pentecostal from the 60s and 70s. And I don't know if you understand what that meant. Women, you know, in lawn skirts and stuff. And some of them have buns in their hair. And these Jesus people in short shorts and candles, and they smell and they have no shoes. They're at the door. And Pastor Reed just told us, it was so funny. We just had lunch with him about 3 days ago. He said, yeah, Dan, we had actually just made a rule in our church that even for choir practice, the women had to wear skirts. They could not wear pants. Even for choir practice, right? Not just Sundays, you know, presenting yourself well on Sundays, good holiness Pentecostal people. And all of a sudden, these Jesus people, these women come in, short shorts, they're at the altar, bending over, crying out to Jesus, you know, tears coming down. And these women, you know, are we going to allow this? And because they were in process, everybody. They were in process. And then some of those guys from the Jesus people became elders at our Pentecostal church. So some people really like the east wind. But here's the thing. You cannot live all your life only in the east wind. And some ministries, denominations, churches, even individuals want to stay there. Oh, I got under conviction. I recognized these things that were wrong in me. My conscience became, it was convicted, and then it became clear. I got washed. Hallelujah. But you cannot stay in the east wind. Isaiah 27, 7 to 8 says, the east wind is a rough wind. You cannot stay in the rough wind all the time. Some preachers just want to make it rough every Sunday. Every Sunday. Here we go again. He's going to boom, boom, hammer over my head. That's an east wind flow. And this is why I like this message, is because you got to get out of the wind at times that you're just buried in that wind. And you need to get into some other winds. You cannot stay in that rough wind all the time. So the next wind is the west wind. Exodus chapter 10, verse 19. Let's go through this here. Exodus chapter 10, verse 19. Okay, so guess what? The east wind worked. Even on Pharaoh. Look at 17, verse 17. Exodus 10, verse 17. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. Pharaoh repented because of the east wind. That's what the east wind brings. It brings conviction. But some people are like Pharaoh. After the relief comes, they go back into their sin. So verse 19. Okay, verse 18. So he, that is Moses, went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. In verse 19, and the Lord turned a very strong west wind and took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. Relief from the west wind. Grace message. The Father's heart. The Toronto blessing is a west wind revival. It is a grace revival. The west wind represents refreshing and abundant grace. It's a wind that comforts, and it removes the harshness and the sting of the east wind. The Father's heart message is a west wind message. The prodigal son got healed through the west wind. The fact that he had been disciplined and brought to the place of lowliness in the pigsty, that was the east wind effect. But it was the west wind that healed him. He had already been jolted by his own carnality, but he is restored by the Father's love. And what that prodigal son felt was the active, filial, touched affection, love of the Father, and that healed him. This is what grace is. And we stand in grace. And so, what this revival that we're in right now, this Father's Heart revival, is a west wind revival. It brings comfort, and some people could not handle it. They know this guy on the floor. There's a carnality part of him. How come God is touching him so strong? Well, he's touching him so strong because of the comfort of the west wind. Third wind. Let's look at it quickly. And let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Again, Ezekiel, he's this charismatic prophet. In verse 3, and the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Oh, I like that phrase, the hand of the Lord. Study it out, what happens when the hand of the Lord comes upon you. Verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the where? It's coming out of the north. A great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. And from within came the likeness of living creatures. This was their appearance. And it goes on to describe creatures with wings. Then the north wind goes on to describe rainbows. Then it goes on to describe wheels within wheels. Then it goes on to describe a man on the throne. Then there's also noise of many waters. So what is the north wind? Here's what I understand the north wind to be. The atmosphere of heaven coming to earth. The atmosphere of the glory of heaven coming to earth. There's Ezekiel, he's minding his own business, sitting by the river Chebar, and all of a sudden, heaven is on earth. The wheels of heaven are touching earth. The sound of heaven is touching earth, and he's experiencing the atmosphere of the glory of God in heaven. From heaven on earth. The north wind is heaven displayed and encountered in human experience on the earth. I'm going to say that again. The north wind is heaven displayed and encountered in human experience on the earth. It brings glory encounters and measurable angelic activities. Glory encounters and measurable angelic activity. That's the north wind. I think I told this story in Macedonia, Guinea. About 3 years ago, we have a young man in Ukraine. He's about 44 years old. His name is Vlad. And he did not like me. He's a pastor from the southern city of Dnipropetrovsk in Ukraine. He did not like Toronto. He did not like John or not. We would come and do conferences there. And he was very vocal. Who needs this stuff? And so he came to a point of burnout. And on that point of burnout, he started watching, and he was ready to hand over his church. And on that point of burnout, he was watching the Asbury Revival online, live streamed, even though he couldn't understand English. And as he was watching the Asbury Revival, the presence of God came into the room. His room disappeared. I wish I could get him on Zoom to tell you this story. There's such an anointing, even in Russian as we interpret it. His room disappeared. And it was just him and Jesus. It was just him and Jesus. There was no one else, like, in creation. Just him and Jesus. And heaven came down and glory filled his soul. And he started dancing. He started laughing. He started full of joy. His countenance changed. His wife saw him and she said, what happened to him? What happened to you? And then it got on her as well. And he started searching us out. He started apologizing to us. You know, the conviction, making things right. And God is on him right now. There is such an anointing on him. And this lasted for months, these encounters with him. And he got baptized with glory. And now we don't have a big budget. We have just, you know, a few thousand dollars in Ukraine in our budget because anyways. And so we've taken aside some of our budget and we said, Vlad, We want you to go to all of our churches and just share your story. Share your glory story. And that's what he's doing now. He's built, his church has grown two-thirds since that, like it's grown 70%, let's say, since that experience happened to him. His worship services last 2 hours, and they're joy. He's written songs. He's got glory songs. Heaven came down and glory filled his soul. I used to sing that song in church. You know, heaven came down. You know that song? And glory filled my soul. That was actually written by John Peterson, a composer, a Christian composer, who did not have the experience of heaven coming down and glory filling his soul. He was watching the testimony of another man of how he got saved. And the glory of God on that guy who was giving his testimony, his eyes and his face, caused John Peterson to write that song. But what happens when glory comes and fills our souls? What happens when you get gold teeth? Can you explain that? One of the things I cannot figure out, and I've asked John and some other leaders about this, why were there seasons of gold teeth? Do you know what I'm talking about? How many do not know what I'm talking about? Just raise your hand if you don't know. Okay, good. It's about half. Let me explain this a little bit. During the Toronto Revival, and not just the Toronto Revival, as this was coming over the world, once in a while, people would all of a sudden would feel something in their mouth. They would go to the mirror and they'd have gold teeth. Their cavity or whatever the filling was before, it turned into gold. Has anybody here experienced that? It happened all the time. It happened for like 8 to 10 weeks, and it was just pop. People getting glory coming into bodies. Remember the definition of the north wind. The atmosphere of heaven coming into human experience. Gwen and I were out in Nova Scotia one time preaching there. And this young couple were woken up by footsteps and bells and chimes outside their apartment in the middle of the night. And they got up thinking, well, there's someone from the bar is out there playing. And they got up and they looked, there's no one out there. But the chimes were still there. The bells were still there. And it wasn't church bells. And they looked at it, they couldn't figure it out. And then they went back to bed and they were still awake. And then they had heard footsteps coming into their room. And it was angels. And the angels kept them up all night. Why should we be surprised if angels come and help us? The gift of discerning of spirits is not discerning if there is a demon behind every bush. There's more angels than demons. And so we should be able to discern what the angelic activity around us is. I mean this very sincerely, everybody. John, this is serious. Andrew, Genny, this is, you know, all you leaders, this is a very serious one. You must understand that within this river of glory, this joy and glory go together. And angels accompany this river. So that what we are doing, we're not doing on our own. There's no way that we could exist, we could do everything that, even what John is doing. There is, and I feel the angels. I feel them sometimes. Like at the beginning of this session, I talked about manifestations and things, and part of that is because I know that the angels are with me. And I want them to be with you. This is not my testimony. This is not me trying to become a charismatic river celebrity. My honest heart is that you understand angelic activities. So these angels kept this couple up during the night. Well, I was preaching the next morning at the Sunday church. And they said, they came up to me, said, Dan, and they told me the bell story, the chimes, and the angels. Can we give testimony before you preach today? And I said, fine, great. Arriba. Did someone just dim the lights? Or was that, ooh, it's going to get interesting in here. So I said, sure, come up and give the testimony. So they gave their testimony about the angels kept us up and these bells, and we were looking around, couldn't figure out what was going outside. But you see, the glory of God is when the presence comes to one of our five physical senses. Physical senses. Physical. And this is what we got to get used to in leading this river. People get touched in their physical senses. Arriba. They get touched with their physical senses. So they came up, they gave testimony. While they were giving testimony, the fragrance of the Lord came into that room. So I'm Baptist enough to try to check everybody's cologne. Guinea, do you have too much cologne? What kind of perfume do you have? Is this from Paris or is this from heaven? You know, where is this from, Paris or heaven? And because I want it to be real. I want it to be real. Everybody, I want it to be real. That day, I did not preach. I invited everybody up, and what we did that day is smell the fragrance of the Lord. There's about 60 people there. We just got in a circle and we just, wow. That was the meeting. That was the glory meeting. Arriba. Now, why does that happen once in a while? I don't know. The gold dust coming. I love the gold dust. You know what I mean by the gold dust? I love it when the gold dust shows up. Lord, it would really help my ministry a lot if the gold dust would show up more. But it doesn't. But it happens once in a while. My wife, she doesn't have manifestations, Gwen. She's back there. But when we were doing the dishes a couple of times, she just got her cheeks were she got gold on her cheeks. Go and explain that. I don't know. But it's the north wind. Arriba! Andrew, why does this, how come this ebbs and flows like this? Is this helping anybody? I'm trying to get you to say yes to all four winds. I'm trying to get the church, the conservative Pentecostals, the liberal Methodist, the whoever it may be, to start recognizing the Spirit blows how and where and when he wants. And that he's like the wind and it may look different. And we have to recognize the seasons, even in a local church. Even in a local church. In our ministry, as leaders of ministries, need to recognize the season of what wind is blowing at what particular time. Arriba. You know, and if I'm a north wind guy with angels and manifestations, it's good that once in a while I have some east wind guys coming in. Or I have some west wind guys coming in, south wind guys. Okay, we're going to close here. I know you have to take a picture. By the way, Acts chapter 2 had all four winds. It started with the glory wind. Wind. It started with north. Wind, fire came upon them. The atmosphere of heaven came upon them. And then there was an evangelistic message, which I consider the south wind. And then deep conviction, repent, that was the east wind. And then they were baptized in the name of the Lord. They were comforted. That was the fullness of revival. You know, I just feel to go back to the whole angels. Oh, you guys coming up? Okay. That's my hint to quit. But I said I was going to quit. Hold on. Angels. What? Listen, you were used to demons before you were saved. You went to a bar, you did different things, and demons would follow you home, and you were just fine with it. Why should you not be fine with angels actively following you home, encountering you, leading you, appearing to you? We don't worship angels, but we need these messengers from the Lord, and they're with us. We're not alone, everybody. It's not just us striving. So I just feel to stop right now. We're going to go into the south wind. But I just feel, Lord, I pray that you'd increase the activity of angels in Rock Church. Increase the north wind. Increase. Arriba. Lots of times north wind brings dreams and visions and heavenly encounters. Ezekiel had this baptism in the north wind, and then he just had all these heavenly encounters the rest of his ministry. Lord, I pray you would baptize the church with the north wind. Baptize us with angelic activity. Come, Holy Spirit. Baptize Gwen and I. Baptize Andrew, Noreen, Genny, John and Suzanne, all of us, Lord. Oh, blow on us, dear Lord. Family Research Council. Angels for America, for Canada. Oh, God. Arabashika taraba. Glory encounters. And then very quickly, the south wind. Son of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. And I interpret the south wind to an evangelistic harvest, a mighty, sovereign harvest. Jesus said, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There was a focus of what he was doing in a particular season. Son of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16 says, Awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. It seems that the south wind seems to bring an evangelistic move of God. And God sent Andrew and Noreen to Turkey. God bless them. He sent Gwen and I to where there is the sovereign harvest. Like, we would go into a school, ask the director, shut down your class. We wouldn't say it like that. We would propose something. And he'd listen to us. And in 15 minutes, he had gathered 216 year olds. Everyone to the assembly hall. These Canadians have something to tell us. And I would talk for 15 minutes about Canada. And then 45 minutes, I'd give them the hot gospel. They would say, who wants to receive Christ? And we were very plain. Repent of your sin. This is the only way. Your eternal soul depends on this. And 90% of those kids would stand up. We would look at the interpreter and say, you must have said something wrong. Tell everyone to sit down again. And literally we would do this. They would sit down and we would slowly explain it again. And this is no exaggeration, everybody. And there was a clear gospel message. Who wants to receive Christ? Who wants to be a follower of Jesus? This is going to make it being a commitment for you. And we told them the steps. And they'd stand up again. And I use the expression, it's an exaggerated expression. I use the expression, we would sneeze three times and plant a church. There's times in history. After the war in Korea, there was a great hunger. I believe there's going to be a great harvest in Iran after this war. I really believe that. I'm praying. I've already talked to someone. I'm praying about going to Tehran. Hopefully I'm going to get there in the next 2 years. I want this war to end. I believe with the same thing that happened in Ukraine and the Soviet Union, with the breakup of the Soviet Union and the shock of that fall, it's going to happen in Iran. I'm praying for that. And so a south wind is recognizing where there's a harvest and sowing into that harvest. It seems to be sovereign. I don't understand it. I am not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I use that as a verse to say there seems to be a focus geographically that the Lord Jesus has on certain areas at times. Why is John 3:8? Because he gets to move where he wants to move. That's what the wind does. Amen. Let's stand together. May the four winds come to the Balkans, Guinea. May all four winds, not just one wind. Can you see through this why some people don't like revival when it happens? Because it looks different. Lord, forgive us. Lord, we pray, Shikatarabba, that you would blow upon us with the winds of God. More, Lord. North wind, blow. North wind blows. South wind, blow. East and west, blow. What wind is blowing on you in your life right now? Not just the corporate church, but what wind is blowing on you? Because he gets to blow how he wants. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You hear the sound of it. You can feel it. Lord, we give you permission. Here's how we're going to end up this session. We just want to give the Lord permission to blow on our lives, on our families, however he wants to blow. Precious Lord, precious Lord, precious Lord, precious Lord Jesus. You're the one that pours out your wind. You're the one, Lord. You're the one that pours out your wind. Blow, wind of God, on Rock Church. Blow on the leadership. Blow on us individually. Blow on our families. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Arriba. Fall fresh on us, Spirit of the living God. Grace, grace, grace. Come, Holy Spirit.
This teaching, I think for a lot of us, it's a framework for understanding what's going on. And one, God is sovereign, but also it helps us to appreciate what's happening, what's happened. It's not me versus them, us versus them. It's not like picking your favorite sports team and saying, this is the best, the other teams are not so good. It's to humbly recognize that God does this thing according to His wisdom. So this way we could embrace the east wind. We could embrace the west wind. We could embrace the south wind. But if there is a wind, I sense for the Rock Church, it's the north wind. And so it's not saying no to the other winds. There's elements of the other winds to it. And I would say second is the west wind. Okay, for us, it's the north, it's the west. East and the south will be included. And some of you will be released, like with PI, to the south wind. Because the harvest for those who are called to the nation, it's the harvest of Buddhist soul, Muslim souls. That's the south wind. For the Rock, I see the Lord already moving on many of you with the north wind, the heavenly visitations, the angelic visitations. So if I were to mark what's happening now, it's the north that's being emphasized, and with a strong dose of the west, the healing of the heart. The healing of the heart with a heavenly visitation. Healing of the heart, that's the west wind. Now what's happening in the greater church is the east wind of threshing, confrontation, conviction. And for a few of you, that's an invitation. So there's an invitation to repent. Just come clean. Not so much you're caught like a criminal, but come clean because the doctor wants to heal you. The great physician wants to heal you. And so, Lord, we just pray and we say humbly, You are the Lord. You, Jesus, You determine the times and places. You determine the seasons. You determine how you're going to move, when you're going to move, how wide you're going to move, how deep you're going to move. But we also thank You, Lord, that You clue us in. You give us perspective and understanding, and then You stir our hearts. You stir our hearts to know the season of this wind. And for some of us, this wind is a life calling. For some of us, it's a life calling. For others, Lord, we will move from one wind to the other. So, Father, I just thank You so much for what's happening now. And I ask, Lord, that You would come upon Your people even now. Come upon Your people now, Lord. And I ask for preparation of the heart. I just sense, even as Dan was sharing, as you're listening, some of your hearts came more alive with one of the winds. Like, oh, that's what I need. I need a new wine. I need abundant grace. I need the Father's heart. Well, that's the Lord speaking to you. For some of you, it's the north wind. Oh, yes, glory, heaven. I want that heavenly visitation. I want that heavenly experience. So just recall how your hearts were stirred. So, Father, we present to You our hearts. We say yes to all the four winds. We say yes to all the four winds. And we also say yes to that particular wind that You have us dive into this season and this season of our lives, Lord. So, Father, just give us clarity right now in Jesus' name and a stirring of the heart to grab. I just see the image I see is that you're in the airplane, the oxygen mask comes down. But this is more than oxygen. You're going to grab and you're going to breathe in the heavenly oxygen, so to speak. You're going to breathe in. And just like the flight attendant says, like before you put the mask on your child, put it on yourself first. So breathe in that heavenly oxygen. Breathe in the communication from the Lord. Let the Lord speak to you about where you are and who you are and what wind you need to breathe in. So if you could just imagine, just grab that oxygen mask, put it to your mouth and nose, and breathe in and say, Lord, I need all four winds. Oh, Lord, I need that west wind. Oh, I need to repent. I need that east wind. Lord, I need that south wind for my family and friends. So breathe in that oxygen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, all that Dan shared this morning, I see now pictures of seeds. It's those dandelion seeds that's floating through the air. So as he spoke, these seeds of truths were flowing in the air. And so, Father, I just ask that you would sovereignly land these seeds into the soil of our hearts. And that in the coming days, it would germinate. And so it won't be just this morning that the truth will be heard and be appreciated. But in the coming days, these seeds of truth would germinate. And for many, Lord, they're going to begin to think and pray along these lines. And so dreams will be given, visions will be given, prayers for lost souls will be given, conviction will be given. And so, Lord, this too, we give you full permission to do your work. We invite your work in our hearts as the seeds of truth land upon the soil of our hearts. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name, amen.